Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 31, beginning at verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. What, my son? And what, son of my womb? And what, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to those who are bitter, and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Verses 1 through 9, Proverbs chapter 31. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word that is a book of wisdom, wisdom and grace that can help us as individual believers as we simply read your word and follow its guidance, its counsel, its wisdom. And Lord, thank you for the fact that your word is many, many things to us. It's a gift in so many ways. But thank you for how that also it's a guidebook for parents and for fathers and for mothers, parents to guide, to mold, to shape, and help their children to grow up to become godly men and godly women. Help us to be wise enough to use it as a book of wisdom to guide, to shape, and mold our children to be what you'd have them to be. And help us to be wise enough to pray according to the wisdom of your word all the days of our lives for our children and for your blessing upon their lives. Thank you for the wonderful gift of the book, the Bible, your book of wisdom for all peoples at all times, in all circumstances. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Our producer, Rick Robertson, is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time as well.
Father, we do thank you for your holy word that you've communicated to us through. We're thankful for all the promises, all the truths there that we can cling to, that we can live our lives on. We pray for our listening family, those who are hurting with loss of loved one, those who are sick, those who've lost their jobs, those who are hurting in any way. God, we pray that you would be the great healer in their lives. We bring them to you, and we pray you'll give them listening ears today and hearts of courage to take what they hear and live it out in their lives in a way that would bring you much honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We continue to remind and encourage you, please be taking time to pray for our upcoming spring share-a-thon. It's just a few weeks away. The dates for our spring share-a-thon are May the 19th through the 21st. So your prayers are very much appreciated. And we're hoping that you'll not only pray for the share-a-thon, but choose to be a part of it when it comes. Pray for the Lord to anoint it and use it mightily for his glory and to use it to point many people to Jesus Christ as well. Again, those dates are May the 19th through the 21st. Hope you'll do that. We continue to remind you, please do email us to get some of the prayer tools we provide, including the Psalm 91 prayer and other great prayer tools that will help you in your daily walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Specifically, Psalm 91 is a wonderful tool for you to pray every day as you trust God to protect you and your family from the coronavirus, but also to protect you in every way in your life as well. But also the other prayer tools are tools that help you to become a more faithful prayer warrior in the kingdom of God. And the other discipleship tools are great tools to help you grow in your walk with the Lord as well. Remember, our encouragement to you is that you would both use them in your own life and in the life of your family, but also forward them on to lots of other individuals, to family, to fellow church members, to friends as well. These are tools that can help you to become a disciple maker, and we can become fellow disciple makers as we encourage others in areas of spiritual growth where we all can grow and become more vibrant disciples and followers of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Today we're looking once again at the topic of life lessons from mothers of the Bible. And specifically, we'll be reading passages from the Word of God that give us insights about mothers from the Bible and from which we can all learn. So we begin now in the book of Ruth, Ruth in the Old Testament, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife was Naomi, and the name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. Now they took wives of the women of Moab, the name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years, then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the woman survived her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Therefore she went out from the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest each in the house of her husband." So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "Surely we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb, that they may be husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you, or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me." When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. Now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. And it happened when they had come to Bethlehem that all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" But she said to them, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. Verses 1 through 22, Ruth chapter 1. In the book of Ruth, it has some powerful and interesting insights about the whole truths of motherhood and behind motherhood as well. We see the story of Elimelech and his wife Naomi, who pack up and sadly make the trip to Moab from Bethlehem, Judah, and they find tragedy in Moab. There, Elimelech dies, and eventually their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, also die. But they don't. It's not until after they've both taken wives of the country of Moab that they die. Well, so Naomi, after she's lost her husband and her two sons, decides to go back to Bethlehem. And initially, her two daughter-in-laws are traveling with her. But then sadly, she encourages them to go back to their home and their gods. Sadly, Naomi's in a backslidden state, and she encourages them to go back. Well, Orpah, one of her daughter-in-laws, does go on back, but Ruth clings to her. Ruth has put her faith and trust in God, the God of Israel, and also has decided she's going to love and help take care of her mother-in-law. And so here we see a mother who has been mourning because she's lost her husband and her two sons. And so the loss of her husband and sons probably is weighing very, very heavily on her. But here we have a daughter-in-law who has decided that she's going to take care of her mother-in-law. She's going to cling to her no matter what. And so we pick up now chapter 2. There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. So Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his servant, who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, "It is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab." And she said, "Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house. Then Boaz said to Ruth, You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young women not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. So she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" And Boaz answered and said to her, "It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." Then she said, "Let me find favor in your sight, my lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants." Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, "Come here and eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed parched grain to her. And she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Also let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening, and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Then she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. So she brought out and gave to her what she had kept back after she had been satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where have you gleaned today, and where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked, and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord, who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead." And Naomi said to her, "This man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives." You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're looking at the topic of life lessons from mothers of the Bible. We'll be right back.
You're lighting up my way.
Planet Shakers, Only Way. Jesus really is the only way. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Today we're looking at the topic of life lessons from mothers of the Bible. And we pick up as we're reading, continuing to read, in the book of Ruth, chapter 2. We pick up once again the book of Ruth, chapter 2, starting at verse 19. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where have you gleaned today? And where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead." And Naomi said to her, "This man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives." Ruth the Moabitess said, "He also said to me, 'You shall stay close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, and that people do not meet you in any other field." So she stayed close by the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of barley harvest and wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. Ruth chapter 3. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now Boaz, whose young women you are with, is he not our relative? In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself. Put on your best garment and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be, when he lies down, that you shall notice the place where he lies. And you shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down. And he will tell you what you should do." And she said to her, "All that you say to me, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. And she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself, and there a woman was lying at his feet. And he said, "Who are you?" So she answered, "I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative." Then he said, "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. Now, it is true that I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative for you, good, let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, and she arose before one could recognize another. Then he said, "Do not let it be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." Also he said, "Bring the shawl that is on you and hold it." And when she held it, he measured 6 ephahs of barley and laid it on her. Then she went into the city. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Is that you, my daughter?" Then she told her all that the man had done for her. And she said, "These 6 ephahs of barley he gave me, for he said to me, 'Do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" Then she said, "Sit still, my daughter, until you know how your mother, excuse me, sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out, for the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day." Ruth chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there. And behold, the close relative of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, "Come aside, friend, sit down here." So he came aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." So they sat down. Then he said to the close relative, "Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, sold the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. And I thought to inform you, saying, 'Buy it back in the presence of the inhabitants and the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am next after you.'" And he said, "I will redeem it." Then Boaz said, "On the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also buy it from Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance." And the close relative said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my own inheritance. You redeem my right of redemption for yourself, for I cannot redeem it." Now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging. To confirm anything, one man took off his sandal and gave it to the other. And this was a confirmation in Israel. Therefore the close relative said to Boaz, "Buy it for yourself." So he took off his sandal, and Boaz said to the elders and all the people, "You are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all was Chilion's and Mahlon's from the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, I have acquired as my wife, to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brethren and from his position at the gate. You are witnesses this day." And all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the house of Israel. And may you prosper in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. May your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring which the Lord will give you from this young woman." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And when he went in to her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a close relative. And may his name be famous in Israel, and may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is better to you than 7 sons, has borne him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. Also the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, "There is a son born to Naomi." And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now this is the genealogy of Perez. Perez begot Hezron. Hezron begot Ram. And Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nahshon. And Nahshon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz. And Boaz begot Obed. Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David. end of Ruth, chapter 4, and end of the book of Ruth. Once again, the book of Ruth is a powerful book and a wonderful book with some interesting insights and truths about mothers and motherhood. Again, the book opens up with the story of Naomi following her husband Elimelech. They pack up and move from Bethlehem, Judah to the nation of Moab. And sadly, they find disaster there. Elimelech dies, and eventually their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, also die. Well, of course, Mahlon and Chilion, before they died, had taken wives of Moabite women, including Orpah and Ruth. Well, Naomi decides to head back home, and so she does pack up and leave and heads back home with her two daughters-in-law, but then decides to encourage them to go back home. And Orpah follows her direction and her encouragement, but Ruth clings to her and chooses to go back with her to Bethlehem. And so they arrive in Bethlehem, and Ruth, who has put her faith and trust in God and who is lovingly has decided she's committed to taking care of her mother-in-law, is with her. And so she goes to glean in the fields. Well, the book of Ruth is a powerful book with the powerful lesson of and an illustration of the truth found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Ruth has put her faith and trust in the God of Israel, though she's a Moabite woman. And after putting her faith and trust in God, not only is she now serving the Lord, but she decides she's going to lovingly serve and take after her mother-in-law as well. Well, we find that after she begins to glean in the fields of Bethlehem, God allows Boaz, a rich bachelor in the community of Bethlehem, to lay eyes upon her. And apparently he begins to find real interest in Ruth. And just to make a long story short, by the end of the book, Boaz and Ruth marry. And so Ruth, who has put her faith and trust in the Lord and has begun to serve the Lord and decides she's going to lovingly serve and take care of her mother-in-law, as I mentioned, she's demonstrating the wonderful principle of Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. At the beginning of the book in the first chapter, she's a young widow, and of course she had no children whatsoever at that time, so she was a young widow, but not a mother at that point. But by the end of the book, God has blessed her with a husband that loves the Lord, a husband that's actually rich, and the fields that she was gleaning in earlier in the book, she now owns the fields. And she is now, she's no longer a widow, she's now a wife and a mother as well. And she's ends up being the great-grandmother of King David. And so at the end of the book, Naomi, who had lost her husband and her two sons in chapter 1, now is happy that she now, once again, her daughter-in-law, who she loves very much, has remarried, and she has a grandchild now through her daughter-in-law as well. And she's content and encouraged to see God's hand of blessing once again upon her and her family. Well, again, a powerful story where it illustrates the wonderful truth. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. As I said, at the end of the book of Ruth, Ruth is now a wife and a mother, and God also places her in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the goodness of God. Well, I invite you now to turn your attention to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 1. A powerful story found in Exodus chapter 1, starting at verse 15. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shipra, and the name of the other Pua. And he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women, and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was, because the midwives feared God, that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. In verses 15 through 22 of Exodus chapter 1. Here in this short but powerful story found in Exodus chapter 1, two young women by the name of Shipra and Pua, two young midwives, who were commanded by the mighty Pharaoh, probably the most considered the most powerful king in the world at that time. He's commanded to kill the Hebrew baby boys. But it clearly points out that Shipra and Pua, it says they feared God. So they decided they were going to put God first, even beyond the government of Egypt. And so God's word was more important to them than the word of Pharaoh. Well, at a certain point in time, Pharaoh realizes the baby boys are not dying. And so, apparently being upset, he calls in Shipra and Pua and demands, "Why have you not killed the baby boys?" But God in his grace gives Shipra and Pua wisdom, grace, and ingenuity to outsmart Pharaoh. They basically tell Pharaoh, these Hebrew women are healthy and they're healthier than these Egyptian women. They just birth those babies before we get there. Well, of course, what does Pharaoh know about birthing babies? Nothing upon nothing. And so they outsmart King Pharaoh. We'll pick up on the other side. We're looking today at Life Lessons from Mothers of the Bible. We'll be right back. Dunson Oyekan, a song entitled Amazing. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're focusing on the topic Life Lessons from Mothers of the Bible. And we just read from Exodus chapter 1 about the story of Shipra and Pua in chapter 1. And so as we continue to focus on this, keep in mind, Shipra and Pua have been called in by the mighty Pharaoh, and he demands to know why they have not been killing the baby boys. But by the grace of God, Shipra and Pua, they feared God rather than men and men's government. And so they refused to kill the baby boys. And so as Pharaoh brings them before him and he demands why they haven't done it, God gives them wisdom, grace, and ingenuity to outsmart Pharaoh. They basically tell Pharaoh, these Hebrew women are just so healthy, they birth these babies before we get there. And again, what does Pharaoh know about birthing babies? Nothing upon nothing. And so what else can he say? And so he apparently dismisses them, and he just decides he's going to change his whole strategy. So he begins to tell them, instead of him having them to kill the baby boys, he decides to tell the Israelites to throw the baby boys into the Nile River. Well, now one might tend to think, well, Shipra and Puah, their plans of saving the baby boys didn't do any good because the Pharaoh continued to have them killed. Well, no, actually, their bravery and their courage, God heard it and God used it mightily, because many baby boys were born instead of being killed because Shipra and Puah refused to honor the Pharaoh's command. And one of the baby boys that may very well have been amongst those that was saved was a little baby boy named Moses. So God did use Shipra and Puah in a wonderful and a powerful way. And keep in mind, the scripture also points out that God rewarded them for what they did as well. It says, notice very specifically, it says in verse 20, it says, therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was because the midwives feared God that he provided households for them. Now, what does that mean? Well, basically it means that because they too, Shipra and Puah, they too sought first God's kingdom, God's will rather than men's will. They sought to honor God. They sought to follow God's wisdom and his word and to fear God rather than following men. They put God first. In other words, they too lived out the biblical principle found in Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And they did that, and God blessed them with husbands and children of their own. In other words, he gave them families as well. They put God first, and God blessed them. After they have helped to save the babies of other women, God blessed them to be wives and mothers of their own as well. Father, thank you, Lord, for the example that we see in Shipra and Puah of two courageous women who stood up for what's right. Lord, stir in us the spirit of courage and wisdom. Help us to be a courageous people that courageously hear your word and obey it in every case, in all circumstances. Help us to be vessels that you'll use wonderfully all the days of our lives. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. We do pray. Amen. Well, in the Word of God, we find in the book of Proverbs chapter 31, it's a powerful passage with some important insight from a mother found in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 31, beginning at verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him, what, my son? And what, son of my womb? And what, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to those who are of bitter heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Again, Proverbs chapter 31, verses 1 through 31. Well, this is a powerful and a unique proverb in the Word of God. It's the final proverb listed in the book of Proverbs. And note, too, it's interesting that it begins with these words, the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. In other words, we find here that this king, King Lemuel, is remembering what his mother told him. And you know, sometimes when people read Proverbs 31, they think of it strictly as the words of the woman, the Proverbs 31 woman. And well, actually, they are her words, but these are those words as remembered by her son. And one very important truth that mothers, and actually mothers and fathers, need to be mindful of is that very often parents make the big mistake of thinking, or even sometimes saying as well as thinking, my children don't listen to me. My children don't pay me any attention. Well, parents, the reality is, time and time again, it's very true that they are listening. Many times they're listening when you don't think they're listening. And sometimes they're listening when you do think that they're listening. And the fact is, it's interesting how often you may run into parents that will, to adults that will often say in their life, mama used to say, or daddy used to say. Because the fact is, children do listen to their parents, maybe not as well as the parents would like for them to. But also keep in mind, parents, often children are experts at pretending like they're not paying you any attention, when sometimes they actually are listening, and actually listening rather well. So parents, don't make the big mistake of thinking that your children never listen to you. Teach them, encourage them, share counsel and wisdom with them, and keep in mind that they are going to remember a lot of what you teach them. They're going to recall much of it. So make it your goal to be sure that you're teaching and training them in the right things, that you're sharing with them truths and insights from the Word of God and the wisdom and wisdom based on God's Word that's going to bless them for today and for the rest of their lives as well. The book of Proverbs, it opens up with, again, Lemuel talking about things he remembered that his mother taught him. And so just like Lemuel remembered things his mother taught him, parents, your sons and daughters will remember many of the things you taught them as well. Make it your goal to be teaching them wise things, good things, right things, good counsel for them to remember. The mother of Proverbs 31, one of the first things she says to her son is, she says to her son, son, be careful of loose women. Stay away from sexually immoral women. And stay away from the ways that destroy leaders, is what she basically says as well. And also she tells him, son, don't get drunk. And she's wise enough to teach her son, there's never a good time to be drunk or high. Now, parents, this is wisdom we should teach our children, that under no circumstances is there ever a time to get high or drunk. Not on New Year's, not on your birthday. Getting high or drunk is unwise, because for some people, they may have gotten high or drunk one time, but did something that they would regret for the rest of their lives, accidentally hurt or injured or killed someone, maybe behind a wheel or through some other means. And when they're sober, they may not even remember what happened. And so parents, we're wise to teach and train our children, stay away from drugs, stay away from drinking and drunkenness. These are things that can ruin a person's life in just a moment of time. And so be wise enough to teach. We as parents, mothers and fathers, we need to be wise enough to teach our sons and daughters, don't get drunk, never get drunk, never get high as well. Also, she goes on to tell her son, don't get drunk. And part of the reason being is because you don't want to pervert justice. As a leader, you want to be a just person. And so she was teaching her son, don't ever get drunk. And be careful to try to have good judgment, so that when you have to make wise decisions that will affect the lives of others, that you'll make good decisions, God-honoring decisions as well. She goes on to tell her son, son, look out for the poor, the disenfranchised, the have-nots, the people that are weak in society. Look out for those persons. Remember this, all throughout Scripture, Old and New Testament, God tells his people, look out for the poor people in our midst. Look out for the weak, the helpless, those that can't speak up for themselves. And so certainly that would include people who are in poverty, but also in this case, this would also apply to unborn children and the abortion issue as well. Speak up, because children can't speak up for themselves. The babies in the womb, we need to speak out against the tragedy of abortion. Well, she tells her son, plead the cause of the poor and needy. And then verses 10 to 31, she tells her son, look, son, let me tell you the kind of wife that you need. And she goes on to explain to her son and teach him and tell him the qualities he should look for in a wife. He explains that he should want to marry a woman that is wise, a woman that's a hard worker, a woman that fears God, a woman that has wisdom, and just a number of great characteristics. And so this mother was wise enough to teach her son, son, these are the good qualities you want to look for in a wife to be. And so what a wise mother to teach her son, son, these are wise qualities that you should be on the lookout for as you pursue a mate for the rest of your life. Parents like that mother of that day, years, many, many years ago, was wise enough to teach her son to do. Parents today, we too should teach our children how to prepare for their spouse to be, the person that they should look for, the kind of qualities they should look for in that individual. That just like that mom was wise enough to teach her son that, mothers and fathers today should be wise enough to teach their children this kind of wisdom as well. We've been looking at the topic of life lessons from mothers of the Bible. Hope that as you take time to go back over these passages that you'll learn a lot. Father, thank you for every mother listening, and thank you for every believer listening. Stir us to be wise enough to learn from the mothers of the Bible, to learn wisdom that we can use to pass on to our children, wisdom that we can use to help pray wisely for our children for as well. Help us all to become wiser stewards of all you've entrusted to us. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You've been listening to the Hour of Intercession again as we've looked at the topic, Life Lessons from Mothers of the Bible. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.